And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 220. Spotlight on Malibu Comics Breed, Volume 1, Number 1, circa 1994. I am Chris Mosby.
After that introduction, I feel ashamed of myself for just being Caleb Gerard.
No, you're fine.
I'm Murray Fox.
And as a...
With nothing to be ashamed of, Murray. It's okay.
Nothing to be ashamed of. As we think, we're going to be talking about one of my absolute favorite Jim Starlin comics ever. It's probably the very first comic that I bought that wasn't DC or Marvel. Came out in 1994, January 94. Written, drawn, and created by Jim Starlin. A little background, I called this Malibu Comics, and from Wikipedia, Malibu Comics, also known as Malibu Graphics, was an American comic book publisher active in the late 1980s and early 90s, best known for its Ultraverse line of superhero titles. Notable titles included Malibu, Men in Black, Ultra Force, The Nightman, which was actually made it into a syndicated television series, Exiles, and Black September. Headquarters in California. This was the little thing that I didn't know when I was checking this out. It was initially the publisher of record for Image Comics from 1992 to 93. Did not know that. It went under, I don't know when, I forget, but it was, all its stuff was bought by Marvel. Let's see. November 3rd, 1994. Really? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so you did not. This was not your first non-DC Marvel book.
I guess not. Well, no. This came out in January and ended in July of 94. And Marvel bought it in November 3rd, 1994. I didn't realize it bought it that far back. So, yeah, okay.
Squeezed in.
Yes, squeezed in. So, a little bit about Breed. Well, we'll get into that. But the original series, six-issue series, was January to June 94. Breed 2 ran from 94 to April 95. The third series was planned and started in 95, but Starlin couldn't get a publisher interested in it after Malibu Comics went under. Breed 3 wasn't... it wasn't released until 2011. The first issue of Breed 3 was released through Image, and it's awesome. I got all the trades and pretty much all the comics. So, any questions before we continue? I'm going to read this one.
Shocking.
Yeah, I'm just a little excited about it.
Wait a minute. So what drew you to this book? I'm curious. I mean,
I think I'd seen Jim Starlin do something else, but I don't know what. Mm-hmm. I don't know. If you got it open, you see the cover. It's a silhouette of this big, scary-looking guy with red eyes, and he has a big, huge knife with blood dripping off of it. I have no idea. But this was Bravura was a line of Malibu that had adult titles. And if I'm not mistaken, another one of those was Sex and Violence that Peter David and George Perez did. So that was of the same line. So that and this came out, I decided to pick it up. Probably because of Starlin, more than likely. But ended up, it's one of those things. Well, and also, back in those days... when the big 90s boom, I was buying everything. Anything with number one, I bought it. And if I liked it, then I continue. That's just what I was doing back then. The poly bags and buy one copy to keep and the other one to open, that kind of crap.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was, Well, I was in my 20s. I was going to school. I lived at home still. you know, going to school and all that. It just bought everything. So that's the
a little
way it
extra disposable of the income.
Yeah,
type.
Well, yeah. All I had was a car payment. Oh, insurance, car insurance. I didn't have a car payment. I had it. My parents bought me a car when I was 16. So.
Since oh, payment, that's lovely.
Yes, it was. A 69 Barracuda.
Mike, your bus pass.
The bus pass? Oh, okay. All right, here we go. We're going in. Going in to see. Created, written, illustrated by Jim Starlin. Colored by a digital chameleon. Tom Mason, line editor. Breed number one, January 1994. Woo. Okay. Jim Starlin's Breed. It starts out in 1949, and we see a conversation going on. A lot of words in this, so bear with me. Captain Alexander, Stoner reporting for duty, sir. Welcome to Fort Hood, Captain. I can't tell you how glad I am to see you. We got us a situation which looks like it's going to end up being your first assignment. Sir, I've just come off a 10-hour bus trip to get here. Can't be helped, Captain Stoner. You're the only combat-trained officer available this time of the night. Been going through your record. Impressive. You were with Patton in Morocco, 3rd Army at Normandy, wounded in the Battle of the Bulge and on hand for the liberation of Dachau. The last one must have been tough.
Dachau?
Okay, I see that now. Yeah. I've had easier duty. What's going on down there? Now that's what the $64,000 question, ain't it? State troopers have requested assistance. Seems they've lost touch with one of their towns, a burg off Route 10 called Bucksnort. Bucksnort, Texas? You got to be kidding. I wish I were, Captain. Earlier tonight, the state police barracks was on the phone with Bucksnort Sheriff. The line suddenly went dead. The troopers didn't think much of it at first. Things are kind of desolate out that way, and the lines go down regularly.
I think I saw the Schwarzenegger movie about a year or so ago.
Might have. But the night went on, and the sheriff never called back? Right. So they sent out a radio car to see if everything was kosher. An hour goes by, and they get no word back from the cruiser. So they dispatched two more cars, 4 well-armed troopers. That was 3 hours ago. They finally decided it was time to send in the army? Exactly. Trooper calls his watch captain, who phones someone, who rings up the governor, who gets in touch with his favorite general, and we get drafted. Who will I be taking on this recon? That's the bad news. There's a training base captain. This is a training base captain. Your squad's green, really green. Terrific. And the bottom of the page, you see a army truck with the cloth covering over it and a bunch of army guys coming out of it. And then there's a picture of a floating head at the top, which you'll know who that is later. And we got more text. The picture is showing a bunch of soldiers walking up to the town. Welcome to Bucksnort. 107 population, and you can see off in the distance the town has a glowish green flowing off of it. And they're saying the place is glowing, green no less. Keep it moving, you dog faces. Okay, now here's the text. Wonderful. It picks up. Okay, take a deep breath. Okay, I got some good news for you too, Captain. That's swell. What is it? How about a first-rate top kick? Sergeant Lawton's got a track record which could easily match against yours. Also a second combat vet to tag along with you. He was just transferred here from that last Negro battalion. They're breaking up Corporal Donald Perry. Perry's his name. The Sarge says Perry's a good man. Oh, by the way, there might be some language in this, so I'll have to put the Alyssa tag on. So if you got little children listening, you might want to tell them to go to bed. I don't care what time it is. Just tell them to go to bed. Anyway.
Okay, good night. I'll see you in the morning.
Okay. And we've had no idea what I'm going to find in this Bucksnort. Your guess is as good as mine, Captain. Could be anything out there. Biker gang taking over the town, Mexican smugglers, maybe even aliens from outer space. Who knows? Might be nothing but a down telephone line and a bunch of straight troopers screwing off, but going there inspecting trouble. I plan to, sir. Your transport's awaiting you, Captain. Good luck. Thanks. I won't tell you what the next picture is, but anyway. Okay. Oh, went the wrong way. Here we go. All right, now, close up on Captain Stoner's name tag on his uniform. You back off a little bit. You see his Adam's apple and a couple of privates and a corporal behind him. And you see a wider shot of a bunch of soldiers carrying M1 Garands, because that was the standard rifle back then. Which, you know, I'm sure everybody knows what that looks like. Anyway, one of the soldiers says, "Ghost Town." Miller, Moore, check the shops. Corporal Stoner says, "Okay." They come up along the...
well, that 94, Miller, Moore, I wonder.
Yes, yeah, exactly. They're all empty, sir. Everybody looking around, and they come up along a State Trooper van, or a Jeep, an old Jeep, because this is 1949, remember? And the hood's up, and it looks like the distributor cap's been ripped out. There's a pistol on the ground, blood all over it and all over the ground, and they're all looking around. Where'd everybody go? Weird. Oh, yeah, the windshield's broke. Looks like a lot of the windows and the shops around them are broke, as, cracked and broke as well. So then they start, they going around. You got.
I like how they knew enough to pull the starter cap off the engine after, well, I thought after that was trashing a nice, the car.
Yeah, that's a nice little detail, I thought. But they did leave it right there, so, you know.
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case. So they're walking along. You can see more. You see cars turned over. Nobody in it. They're checking things out. They're getting, you know, more scary looking. They're getting more scary looking at the every moment. As they walk along, there's more blood on the streets, broken glass, and it shows a purse open with its contents spilled out. Blood splatters on the walls. It looks like somebody's false teeth with blood all around it. Another picture at the feet of one of the soldiers. There's a Raggedy Ann doll. Blood all around it. Somebody's hat with blood on it and around it. By the way, this is also a very bloody comic. Captain, one of the men found something. You better see. What is it? A shoe. A shoe with a foot in it. And tracks. Those are footprints. Yeah. So they're sitting there. They kind of bend down and look. The captain does. And there's blood everywhere. And they see a, just a foot and what's left of probably a little bit of the ankle. Snapped off at the bone there. Those are footprints? Not like none I've ever seen. Any man or animal leave behind. Them teeth marks on that shoe. He's, you know, freaking out. Too many questions. Like, what the devil's that green glow? Fire, maybe? Green fire? Time to hunt down some answers. And that bar is the up the street is a good place as any to start looking. All hell broke out. In my town, I'd gamble for a place to make a stand. Maybe head for cinder block buildings with no windows, which is the exact description of this bar. It's big, huge brick building, no windows. You figure there might be survivors, sir? If they are, they're in here. Those almost look like claw marks on that door. Okay, so next page. Anyone inside there? Can you hear me? We're the U.S. Army. You have nothing to fear from us. We're coming in. And the door's locked, so they pick up a pole from somewhere and barricade or ram their way in. Forcing windows as solid as it looked. The walls were strong enough. So the raiders came through in the roof. And you see a great big hole seeing the soldiers. And here's where it gets gruesome, folks. They all turn their flashlights on. Oh, my God! And then you see it. There's a great big, huge pile of skulls on one table with blood dripping off of it. You got the rest of the skeletons, the rib cage, the some legs and stuff hanging off a chandelier with entrails string from spot to spot. Blood splatters everywhere. Other bones all strewn about. Blood, guts, nastiness. Looks like some demon symbols written in the walls, and it's a double page spread. Nice little demon head symbol over written in blood on the side. Yeah, that's, I don't know. I think my part of this would have been, this was nothing like I'd ever seen before in comics. You know? 94, I mean, this was something. So anyway, so they're freaking out. Who kills like that? Never saw, whoa, what? What? Oh.
It's all good. It's all good.
Okay, well. It's the same copy I've got, so I'm not sure. Anyway, next up, who kills like that? Never saw anything like it, even in the big one. And one guy gets sick and he pukes. Sergeant Steele is Billy. Washington's going to want to see this. One of them says, who you figure? Someone I want a piece of, and I want them bad. And he's mad. So then you hear a scream from a window, and it's the place that's growing green. It's a hairbrush gets thrown out the window. So it's this big, and it actually looks a lot like the house in Psycho, believe it or not. So they hear that scream. They go to investigate. So they're all climbing. It's a big, huge two-story house. You know, Perry, check out the ground floor. Sarge, you need two others upstairs with me. So they're all running up the stairs. There's art on the walls. You know, a typical haunted house-looking arrangement. And they, you know, kicking in doors at different places, and there's nobody there. And they finally kick one in, and then start to kick one in, and then kablam! Big something explodes out of that room, and you see three or four of them get shards of wood thrown everywhere, and something jets out of that room and just knocks them down to splitterines. So then you see a picture outside the house again, and the windows look red, and it's green, got a green glow still. And you see darkness. Captain, what happened? Good God Almighty. Captain, can you hear me? Captain starts coming to. Are you okay, Captain? I think so. I was. And his eyes are a great big, you know, wide, and he's got blood coming off of him. So then you see the area around him. He's still alive, and everybody that's with him has had their hearts pulled out of their chest, or their throats broken, or they're quite the mess.
Yummy.
Yeah. What the hell?
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Mars.
Yeah.
Look at the name of the guys.
Yep.
He's killing off his contemporaries.
You get Suroff as one of them. That doesn't sound familiar to me, but doesn't mean anything. What the hell? And the guy behind him, sounds like an explosion downstairs. Doesn't smell like no blast. Door almost looks like it was pushed or kicked out. Captain, inside the room. We got us a live one. And he looks around, and it's this girl. She's probably about 16, and she's naked, and she's been covered up with a she's covering herself up with a sheet. It's all right now, girl. No one's going to hurt you, girl. She's completely catatonic, staring off into space, eyes wide. There's nothing there. You can see that. Captain, we've got another big problem. It can wait. Don't think so, sir. What do you mean? It's a Sarge, sir. Well, it's like this. Well, we looked, I mean, and the Sarge's head. We just can't find it. And then you back to the back to the image of the house. It's not glowing green anymore. 9 months later, we show the woman is restrained on a table and she's having her baby. Apparently, she was impregnated. The baby comes out, spanking on the bottom, which is what they used to do back then. This is 1949-1950. Miss Darville, you've just given birth to a healthy baby boy. Can you hear me, miss? Miss Darville? She's mouth open, agape, eyes completely dead. Chances are she'll never come out of this catatonic state. And it's the captain. He's standing outside. My lawyers will follow adoption papers tomorrow. One last thing. That name, should I put on, what name should I put on the birth certificate? My father was a good man, a strong man. The big C got him last year. We used to go on about someday being a grandfather. Call the lad Raymond. So now you see a picture of him standing at a desk, close up. He's looking at all the pictures from what happened. And in a room. And so he walks out and he walks into a room and there's the woman. She's laying there asleep. Or actually, that might be his wife.
Yeah, it's not the other wife. Not the one who was impregnated.
Yes, and he's looking at her with the baby that's laying there, and he's thinking to himself, thought balloons, people. That's another good reason, good thing for this comment. He's just a baby, nothing more. He's standing there. He kind of looks like Henry Gyrich from the X-Men comics. So, then we see something funky. It's like some kind of futuristic slash mystical city. And there's a figure sitting at a pool. And the caption says, elsewhere. And you see the little baby in the pool. And the whatever is there puts its hand out, touches it, puts ripples on the pool, and it disappears.
It's like a scrying pool.
Yeah, a scrying pool, exactly. Fits big into the series. So then we go off, and you see just like a little glow, and you see it close up, and you see all these stars, and it's a hooded figure with glasses, and you know, it's got a little book, got a staff sitting there next to it, and it's cooking something on a little grate with some food, salt, pepper, you know, cooking a little stew, some kind of Arabian looking bottle, no telling what's in there. Now we go to California 6 years later. Welcome to Mia Casa, Sergeant Perry. Sergeant Perry was one of the guys that was there on that day.
Yeah, he was the he was from the Negro squad,
exactly,
that was being disbanded. Yeah,
the one that woke him up after he got nailed.
Right.
That's Master Sergeant these days, sir. Congratulations, Don. Korean Field promotion. How'd it go after I left? Badly, Alex. Baldwin, your replacement, bought it a few weeks back, so I heard. Saw it coming. Man was a grade-A fool. Hope you don't end up feeling the same way about your new boss. Seems unlikely. Whereas you personally requested my transfer. Any objections? Not if this assignment is what I think it is. It is. I still have nightmares about Bucksnort. Me too. Bucksnort. I love that.
Me too.
I wonder if that's a real town. I'll have to look that up. Me too. Probably always will. The operation will be called Project Night Raiders. Over the years, I've pinpointed at least 24 possible Night Raider sites. 10 definites. It's finally enough for the brass to start taking the situation seriously. They at last realize that there really is something out there. We'll be on special assignment, answerable only to the chief of staff. The sergeant asks him, how's the boy doing? And he shows a picture of the kid, and he's out there in the sand by a big log, and he's got a book. Captain says, fine. Have you told him? No. There's a good God in heaven. I'll never have to, the captain says. There's no reason to. He's a good kid. I know you've had your worries about him. We'll never know who his father really was, and it doesn't matter. Not to me. And he continues, the missus and I are raising him as our own and Catholic. There's no problem here. Never has been, never will be. Comprendo? So the kid's sitting there, and you see a close-up, and he's reading the Bible. And the sergeant's close-up of the sergeant, he says, reading you loud and clear, sir. So he's back to the kid, and he's opening up the Bible. And this right here, if you've ever read I forget the name of that other one he did. That one was a lot more popular. Dreadstar. Yes, if you read Dreadstar and some of his other stuff, a lot of religion has to take into account some of this stuff. In fact, the subtitle of this book is The Book of Genesis. The second one is called The Book of Escalides, and the third one is The Book of Revelation. So that's, you know, gives you a hint. So and it closes in on some words from the Bible.
Real quick.
Yes.
I'm going to interrupt for half a sec, by the way. There was a Bucksnort, Texas, which no longer exists.
Oh.
Ooh, aliens.
Oh, so he. I wonder if that was the case when he wrote this.
No, it didn't exist. It's been gone since the 1850s. It was briefly settled in 1837 as a supply station, and then everyone moved on by the mid-1850s.
Interesting.
So for the purposes of this story, it is a fictional place.
Awesome. So he, zoom into what he's reading, and it says, thou shalt not kill. And then he's looking up at the sun. You see it looking at the sunset. Next page. Now it's 1969. All those horrible photos came from that town in Texas. And then you realize that the captain, and he's talking to the president. Yes, Mr. President. The picture of the White House and their speech balloons coming out from it. But since then, we've had confirmed massacres in Greece and South Africa. Hundreds of killings in the general public still doesn't have a clue? No, sir. Our cover story about a chemical spill has held close to 2 decades. Johnson knew about this? Yes, sir. The son of a bitch. Which this would be. This would make this Nixon then.
Son of a bitch, Johnson, yes. Okay, as we see on the next page.
Yes. As we see on the next page, still a picture of the White House. These designs, they were found at all the sites. Yes, sir. We have no idea what they represent. And the woman in the asylum is the only white witness, so we assume, sir. This is crazy. Are you really telling me we've got insane cannibals running around this planet, playing walls in human blood? No, sir. Cannibalism denotes an interspecies activity. I understand. First Vietnam and now this crap. You have a boy in the service, don't you, Colonel? In naval intelligence, sir. Is he? Yes, sir. I'll be expecting regular updates on Project Night Raiders, Colonel. And then now you know for sure it's Nixon because he's drawn in here. Best to keep a very tight lid on this matter. I understand, sir. We're talking political dynamite here. Good day, Colonel. Then he's on the phone. Get Laird in here right away. Mr. President, I want to know about what asshole authorized this idiotic project, Night Raiders. The taxpayers get wind. We're spending good money on a snipe hunt for the boogeyman. I'm going to end up one-term wonder and historical laughingstock. Shut it down! But it was another picture of the White House there. So, yeah. A little history lesson.
Irony.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Close-up of somebody's eyes, 1970. More than likely, we're looking at the Vietnam jungle. 14 days, and I wake up, and I draw this bullshit assignment. Figures. Just this morning, I read in the Stars and Stripes that the president once again assured Congress that there are no U.S. armed forces in Laos. I think this is the history part of it I like, too. Place sure looks and smells like Laos to me. Hate coming here. Common knowledge the Laotians don't take prisoners. Flyby spotted the last recon patrol came this way. That's why me and my grunt escort got so lucky. So basically what you're seeing is a helicopter flying over a jungle. And you see a close-up of the name tag, and it says Stoner on it. And then you see a bunch of guys walking through the forest/jungle. Looks more like a forest than a jungle, but yeah, that's just semantics on my part. Much like the ones in Texas in 1949. Okay. According to intelligence, they should be half a click east of here, and that's Stoner talking.
How far is a click? Is a click a mile?
That's a kilometer. Yeah, it's a kilometer.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the Army usually, and the military usually uses the metric system because all the other... Because
it's better.
Well, that's neither here nor there, but all the other militaries use it, so they try to keep it like that.
Yeah, all the other militaries use it because it's better.
Well, I have to agree, but, you know, we're American.
Divide by 10, and you're there.
Yeah.
Holy.
It's America. What do you expect?
That was my favorite math class in the world when we said goodbye to that imperialistic inches, feet, googly goo that I was not understanding and said, hello, metric system.
Yeah, I remember when I was studying in school, I'm thinking, why aren't we using this? This is so much easier. But anyway.
Because the ruler lobby is so strong, and they don't want them to have to remake all those rulers.
Yeah, I hear they're, you know, they're one of the Illuminati, actually.
Those yardstick makers. Exactly.
Now,
the gun's going to whack you with if you don't have a ruler. Oh, God.
this panel is a little confusing to me because you see their heads side by side. Stoner's in the foreground, and the other guy's Stoner's in the background, the other guy's in the foreground. And I assume that the guy with the helmet is saying one of the group is from your outfit, wasn't he? Yeah, a guy named Donovan. Does that seem right to you, guys?
No, it should be the other way around.
Okay.
The letter, the balloon should be the other way around, or the faces should be the other way around, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, but anyway.
Because that's not Stoner in the foreground. That's not his face.
Yeah.
Or at least not the way he's been drawn the whole book.
So far. No, this is younger Stoner.
Stoner's kid, isn't it?
Yes, it's the younger Stoner that we're talking about.
Oh, well, still not him.
Okay. Baby Stoner. Well, okay, yeah, he doesn't have a helmet on. He has a ball cap. He's naval intelligence, so... Kind of like Magnum P.I. was, actually. He was Naval Intelligence in Vietnam, if I remember correctly.
Now I get that theme song going through my head.
Yep. It is a soldier asking. He says, a friend, and the guy says, sort of. They must have been in Navy Intelligence together. Okay, so this shows them. They're searching around again. He says, I'll check it out. Works for me. I don't know what he's checking. Knew they'd all be dead. Never held any hope along those lines, but I couldn't imagine it'd be this bad, this ugly. So they look over a deal, and then looking over a log. They're sneaking up to it because I think maybe they found some tracks or something. That's what he's looking at, and he's got a camera around his neck. So anyway, he said this ugly. So then they look up, and you got three guys strung up. Four. I see. I didn't scroll down far enough. They've been tortured brutally, and of course they're pretty much dead. They're covered in blood.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And this is sadly, this is humans did this. But that kind of stuff happened.
And it looks like there's actually six helmets sitting on the ground there, so there may even be.
Yeah, we might not be able to see them all. Okay. So they're that's what we see. And he starts taking pictures. And he's kind of horrified. Get their dog tags. And, that's where one of them says, they're stitching to their mouths. And the head of the grunt says, snap out of it, you assholes. Spread out. Set up a perimeter. This whole layout smokes of a... And then all of a sudden, shots ring out and take one of the guys down. No, the stoner says, and they start shooting. Oh, laundry's done.
Every week.
Yep, every week, yeah. My sister does
it. Set your clock to it. Oh, yep. Wait a minute. We did.
There's a big firefight, and they start shooting. Guys are getting gunned down because it is an ambush. They're surrounded from all sides. Guys are dying left and right. Stoner's thinking to himself, not with thought balloons, but with meanwhile boxes. That's what I like to call them. This can't be happening. I've only got 14 days left. So he takes off running, and he's just got a pistol. He's getting shot from every round. He drops his camera, it busts. I'm short, which means a short timer, and he doesn't have much time left. That was a slang. And unfair, he's thinking to himself. And there's got the Viet Cong, they're in Laos, the Laotians. That would be the guys in the black pajamas, I think, if I remember my history. Very bad.
Ninja. Ninjas.
I forget what they're called, but they wore black outfits. He's running around. He's trying to get away from them, and he's got big bug eyes, and you see a panel with him running. You got machine gun fire hitting, blowing him, and he comes out and into a clearing, and he says, oh, crap. So he gets down on the ground in a big thing of grass. It was probably rice paddies. I'm not sure. It's big, thick grass. So you see a bunch of them with those pointed, circly hats and guns and stuff, and some of them have shorts on, and others, whatever. That doesn't really matter, does it? So anyway, he's crawling around in the grass, and he's got one knife in one hand and a gun in the other, and you can see a look of absolute horror on his face, which is a completely normal reaction, and they're all around him. You see an overhead view. And he's deep in the grass, and there's one right next to him, and they're searching all around, walking through. They're just real close. And then all of a sudden, you see no escape. Going to die, but I won't go out alone. Not alone. And his eyes turn yellow, and he starts, skin kind of gets a purple look, and you see his pupil, and it's got a skull in it. It's red. So he pops up out of the grass, and he starts shooting. Bam, 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 and he's taking them out left and right, headshots. And then,
why is that one guy got no shirt on?
I don't know. So, well, it might have been hot. You never know.
All right.
Maybe he's the bait. You see him in the background in the panel before it, over to the side.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's using his pistol, and he's just doing headshots or almost headshots every time, taking them out one by one. You see him ducking down while one guy takes a machete out because he's in close range, tries to hit him. He takes out a guy that he ducked a shot from his rifle, And then he swings around and hits the guy with the machete. And then he picks up a rifle with a bayonet in it and throws it into another guy, which is kind of cool. That'd be hard to do. Then you see them, they're all surrounding him, and they're starting to dogpile on him with knives and guns and everything else. And then you see a guy about to machete him, and then a hand comes out of it, and it seems a lot bigger than it was before. And you see half a shot with guys being thrown away, bloodily, and just the fight's going on. And he's flinging them off of him. He's still alive. He's got a knife in his hand, and he starts slicing them up. He's got a knife in both hands, actually. I didn't see the other one. He's giving them what for. And it just keeps getting... he's kicking ass and taking names here. So he keeps doing them. The guy's trying to machine gun him. He dodges the bullets. He takes another one, punches one in the face, and it looks like the guy's face crumples. Sidekicked another one in the face. Another blast and another one. And then you see the head of the group, and he gets a knife right in the chest. And another machete takes the head off, and you see the hat slicing. And then you see a close-up of the guy's eyes, and he looks a little different than he did, and his eyes are glowing white. It's kind of got like a gray pallor, but that might just be shading.
Nope,
his skin is gray. As you look down, and you see the pile, well, not really a pile, but the bodies of all the guys that attacked him are around him, and he's got probably a machete in his hand standing there, and they're all dead.
They are dead, yes.
They are dead.
And he's got horns coming out of his head.
Just a little bit. And he looks like he's like having a primal scream moment there. And he's all torn. His clothes are all torn up, but all those bodies sitting next to him. And he's in between something. So now, let's change the scene off to a Western Union telegram, which is what they used to do before email. For you youngsters.
Look it up.
Yeah.
Google the damn thing.
Yeah, Western Union Mailgram. He's sitting there, and apparently you just can see some of it, and it was to Stone. Inform you that your son, Petty Officer Class Raymond, he's missing in action. Major, I just got off the line with Cameron Bay, and this morning a recon patrol found Raymond by the Laotian border coming back into the Nam. He's alive and well, though here he looked like death warmed over when the soldiers found him. They see he was covered from head to toe in blood. Turns out none of it was his. Flash to U.S. Naval Base, Subic Bay, Philippines. Physically, you're fine. The doctor's talking to him. Physically, you're fine, Stoner. You survived your little adventure without as much as a scratch. But I'm nonetheless concerned about what happened to you out there in the jungle. Traumatic amnesia is something we still don't completely understand. Has anything come back to you yet? And he sits there and his eyes get real wide and he close up to right in his eyeball. When I was a kid, close up of eyeballs used to scare the crap out of me, and I'm not really sure why. But anyway.
In the Twilight Zone in the opening credits.
That scene
maybe it was Outer Limits. I don't know.
And the scariest scene to me in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. They're going into that tunnel on that boat, and you're seeing all those scary ass images around them. And then there's this one of a big eyeball. Oh, terrified me. He says, "No, I just can't remember a thing after the shooting started. It's all a blank." Then don't push it. And he's doing the brooding, defiant, fists up and balls, flexing his muscles thing in his bed. Those memories aren't meant to return. They will in due time. Are meant to return. Sure, Doc, sure. And he's covering his face. Then show a shot of elsewhere again. And the hooded figure is watching him in bed with his hands on his face. And the next panel, you see the hooded hood with glowing eyes in it. Come to me, my brother. Is that it?
There's that double page spread. It was uploaded out of order.
Oh, it was? Weird.
Yeah, for me, yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, it was. So there you go.
So you said this is a 6-issue series?
Yes. Yes, all of them have been reprinted. I actually found, and it was very, very hard to find, they did a trade paperback of the first series a long time ago. I actually have two copies of the original, and then they reprinted it when Breed 3 came out, and then all three of them are on Comixology as well. So you can get the trade on Amazon or the Comixology version. It's really good.
You get a used copy of the trade for Prime for $18, or you can get a used copy. I don't know how much the shipping is, but mm-hmm. for $5.45 American.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is it's bloody. There's cussing and stuff in it, but what ends up happening? Little spoilers if you on the fence whether you want to read more of this or not. He ends up. Doing the whole after Vietnam thing, a lot of people did. They started doing drugs, and he's like destitute and whatever. And he ends up seeing something, and he goes through the doors, and he ends up in the same place that lady is. It's a nexus event to all realities, and certain doors will open up in certain places on the earth. And you find, obviously he's a half-breed demon. You find out that, and she's one too. Oh, spoiled that. Spoilers. This chronicles his life up into the 80s, and then the next one, is another, and she helps him get in touch with his demon side, and he becomes quite the badass. Now, one of the greatest thing about the third one is. So it's like over 10 years, 15, maybe 15, I'd have to look. Not quite 15 years later. Actually a little over 10. They do the Breed 3. So, and is this big battle going to happen? So what does he do? He ends up bringing the main characters out of every single creator-owned book he's done in to the... So, by the end of the series, you see Dreadstar and Odie. You see a character called Word, which I'd never heard of. Kids Cosmos.
The Weird. It was actually DC. So.
That's right. Yeah, he changed it a little bit. But, yeah, that character, and he did a one called Kid Cosmos a couple of years ago that was really good. And they call it the Elsewhere Alliance. But, every single major creator-owned character he did has them all joined together and into this deal. And it is freaking awesome. So, there you go. And what made me remind this, I was looking at our top five books that we picked for DC. And this was our, not for DC, but independent books. And this was mine. So, I thought it would be nice to go over it. So, what do you guys think?
Appreciate you introducing it to me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I shall find issues 2 through 6 now.
Mm-hmm. It is good stuff, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's got a good way with the story.
Yeah, and he puts in history in it, and that's what I think that's what kind of drew me in, is that whole build up through history, and then he's the stone, Raymond character. Grows up, and I want to go read all three of these volumes now. I'm so hyped up about it.
Now, at the end of volume 3, mm-hmm. is it kind of done, or could he continue going on if he wanted?
I won't give that away too many details because this is a plot thread that goes through the entire run. It's 19 issues total for all three. But they could if they wanted. I don't see why not. Because, they're like a lot of things like this. There's a big bad. And, that's kind of the thing. The thing that suffered to me in the third series, and I think that's why they made it longer, is he wrote it assuming that nobody read. Because, that was like 94, a long time ago, when those other two were out. So he spent at least the first whole entire issue over rehashing everything that happened in the first two series. So technically, if you just wanted to read the third one, you could get everything that happened, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. So.
Gotcha.
Well, I can see why this would be a favorite of yours of the non-superhero.
Yeah.
It's got all the, like you said, all the history stuff in it. It's got little subtle things that someone with your background would be able to, you know, mm-hmm. knowledge would be able to pick out. Which is cool. I mean, it's I know Starlin, what has he done lately? I mean, it feels like he's kind of fallen, not out of favor. Right, but.
They've got, Marvel's got him doing Thanos stuff, and I haven't heard of the last one. I know he's done a couple of, original graphic novels, as they like to call them, which basically just big, thick comic books. I don't remember the last one. I've got one of them he's did. Well, if you want to read one that's completely fun of his that he did, it was a series he did, and I got the trade of it, and I bought it on Comixology first, Thanos versus Hulk.
I was just about to ask if that how that was. I picked up the first issue and was completely underwhelmed.
I was too, but I took it as, okay, this isn't really serious. This is kind of a fun fan joke thing. And then I read the rest of it, and I really enjoyed it. Once you know, it's like, okay, he's just having fun here, you know? And it actually does tie into some of the other books that he's done, because there's one with Thanos in it. I forget the name of it, but if the cover has floating heads, and there's Thanos in the front, and Annihilus from the Negative Zone, and Warlock in the kind of in the background. Well, Annihilus had got more powerful during Thanos versus Hulk. So that kind of ties into some of the other stuff he's doing.
Well, they should never have anybody other than him, Abnett, and Lanning working on the cosmic books at Marvel. But that's just an opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I know, I'm kidding. Bendis has done okay, but...
I think I've only read his stuff, I think, in... there, to tell you the truth. Very interesting.
Well, appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad you got. I mean, I know it's a little gruesome, very dark, but the story is it's not like a lot of the stuff you saw in the 90s or even now, gore for gore's sake. That's just it set the tone of the story. And that's how I looked at it. So he's definitely the character's definitely a anti-hero too. If you ever study literature, they talk about the anti-hero. So there you go. Some learning for you.
Coolio.
Thank you. Right.
You're welcome.
Great. All right. I got nothing else.
Okay, I got nothing else either. As always. What was I going to say? Oh, as always, send an email at podcast@tellsfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. Or you can join us on the Facebook page. We just had another person, a legit person, join yesterday. Wasn't a stripper or, you know, somebody selling Ray-Ban sunglasses, which is a plus. An actual comic person. So, you know, you can join him too. Come and join us.
Not that we're opposed to strippers.
No.
Or Ray-Bans.
No, we're not. We just don't want them spamming up our page is all. That's it.
Unless they're comic book fans.
Yeah, if they're comic book fans, I mean, I'm sure there are some strippers that are comic book fans, and please send me your number if you are, and we can talk. You know, maybe you could be on the show.
or MMA ladies, like Ronda Rousey.
Yes, absolutely. Anything like that. That would be awesome. So, anyway, along with that, you can actually comment on the actual episodes on the website. And for it's been a while, it's tellsfromthelongbox.com/the show. And that is it for this week. We are out.